All right, welcome to the Lion of Judah Synagogue. This is Israel Satlin, your teacher for today. Hope everyone is well out there and everyone's safe. I know we're going through a lot throughout the world right now, but it's going to be okay, just like a mother having a baby. It's like everyone gets all ecstatic when the labor pains start, and everybody thinks it's the end of the world, but as soon as the baby's delivered, everybody's happy. So the same with the kingdom of heaven. Like, there's a process we're going to go through that's going to be like labor pains, and we're all going to be very ecstatic about it and hyper-tense about it. But it's going to pass just like a birth. And then after that, you don't even worry about all that time. That was tough. Same with all the people that may die. You know, does anybody miss people that died back in 1920? No. Is death good? No. But just like a tree, it kind of has to happen in order for the tree to begin bearing fruit. And the same with the world right now. So today's message is about why did Emmanuel, last message was about Emmanuel 7:14 out of Isaiah, or Isaiah 7:14, that talked about Emmanuel being born of a virgin, and then we talked about how when his mother had him, named him Emmanuel, she said, hey, I just fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Same reason Herod came out with all the troops looking for all the babies under two, because he knew that that was fulfilled. So now this show is about why did Emmanuel show up? Like, what was his purpose and why did he need to show up? So to sum it up in one sentence, let's see. Emmanuel showed up to point out to all of Israel that the leaders in Jerusalem were not following God. Simple. He came to say, yo, I know you guys are the leaders in Israel, but you guys aren't following God. And if you can't understand what I'm saying, it's because God's not in you, because God wrote about me in Isaiah 7:14, and yet you say that I don't know God. But obviously God knew me before I was born, otherwise he couldn't have wrote about me 700 years before I was born, is what his whole testimony was. But the leaders at that time were making up new rules for people to follow, basically going down the path of the Talmud and oral law. And it wasn't so much that they were going down that path that really annoyed Emmanuel, is that they were leaving everything else undone. Meaning that, meaning that they were not doing the law, or having other people do the law, or trying to maintain the law throughout the land. Instead, they were setting up little workarounds and easier things for people to do, and had them focused on nothingness, basically, because it didn't matter if they did all that stuff. And that's why Emmanuel said, look, you guys are straining at a gnat, but you're swallowing a camel. And that's why he said, what's better, the gifts or the altar that bears the gifts? It's like, what is all this little stuff important, or is the main thing important? And that's what he's trying to get across to the leaders, but as soon as he started questioning the leadership in Jerusalem around all the people, then they started to get really upset, because obviously they're not going to get taken over by someone that they don't believe even knows about God, because he apparently is not following what we're telling him to do, basically. Is and that's how all leadership seems to work throughout the world. If you question the leadership, or you don't do exactly what they tell you to do, that somehow you're in the wrong and you're not a good person. And that's what they're trying to say about Emmanuel, is like, hey, you're not a good person because you're not doing exactly what we tell you to do when we tell you to do it. And Emmanuel's like, well, if the blind lead the blind, then both of them are going to fall into the ditch. Like we talked about lemmings is going off. The same with people in Israel trying to teach laws that didn't apply to the Torah and leaving the Torah undone. So it's the same today. They're a democratic society. I mean, Emmanuel could show up today and be like, yo, look it, you're doing all this democracy stuff. We're not a democracy, we're a theocracy. And that's just what Israel is a theocracy. Just like in Saudi Arabia, I'm not gonna say Saudi Arabia, I'm just saying in some lands, their theocracies also, where they have their gods that they worship, and, you know, there's no proof for their gods, but they for some reason do it. And suffer and have their children suffer because of their idiocracies, believing in stuff that doesn't exist and has no proof. So the point is that Israel's a theocracy under the God of Israel and the Torah laws. And I believe the Torah is going to show up throughout the world shortly. Because ultimately this is just a big loaf of bread, and we just need all the laws, the leaven, to go throughout the whole loaf of bread until the kingdom of heaven is here and the wicked ones are burned up. I did pull up a scripture though that's out of Matthew 13. And it's just about, let's see, okay, Matthew 13:24, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven, so he's talking about the kingdom of heaven now, which is on earth, but it's like, people haven't figured it out yet. The kingdom of heaven is like to a man which sowed good seed in his field, so this man, he put good seed in his field, but while he slept, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and went off his way. But when the blade was sprung up, so when the wheat began, so, and the fruit, then the weed showed up too. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? How come there's all these weeds out there? And he said unto them, an enemy did this. The servant said unto him, well, what are we gonna do? Should we gather up all the tares? The weeds? And he said, no, because if you gather up all the weeds, you'll root up the wheat with them. So the same with the world. It's like, yeah, we understand there's millions and millions, probably billions of wicked people down here. Like, if you look at, like, Sodom and Gomorrah, like, Sodom and Gomorrah, let's just say, was the size of, I don't know, a small to medium city. I don't even know the numbers on Sodom and Gomorrah, how many people were there. But you think about, there was under 10 righteous people and all those, I mean, there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and there's only 10 righteous people. So if you look at like a big city, you gotta think like, there's probably only a few righteous cities. If you look at Jerusalem, you gotta think that it might have a higher concentration of righteous people and holy people, but you still gotta think that that is fairly low to moderate. But it might be high, you never know. But the truth is that not everyone's holy inside Jerusalem. Which I think is ultimately everyone sees as kind of an issue. Being that it is a holy city. And the same with the Holy Land. Like, if you're living unholy in a holy land, what's the point? You might as well go to an unholy land and live unholy. You know, so I think that ultimately that's what Israel's trying to defend right now. It's like, we're a holy people. We do holy things. And if you're not holy, why are you in a holy land? You know, go out and do your thing out there somewhere. You know, so yeah, but the law still does have to go throughout the whole land, because we can't let people in all their little countries continue to get treated wickedly, just like Emmanuel did when he tried to stand up to the wicked people ruling Jerusalem at that time. The same with all these God-fearing people around the world, and they stand up to these terrible, tyrannical governments, they get the same treatment as Emmanuel did, and that was the point. And Emmanuel really died at that moment, so that humans didn't have to be under the law anymore for a short period of time, 2,000 years. But because he died, we didn't have to die. Because otherwise, all the wicked leaders in Israel would have taken over power over the world and would have just started putting people to death left and right. And but because we had Emmanuel who died to take our place so we didn't have to die, then we had 2,000 years until the Messiah arrives, until we have to really do the law or even worry about the law. And you know, that time will arrive when the Messiah arrives. So, okay, so why did Emmanuel show up? So the other thing, I mean, he did not show up to do miracles or to, make himself known throughout the world or to get a big reputation or to become something that somebody wrote about in a book and everybody worships. He came to testify. He says it. I've got this scripture pulled up, I think. But it is out of John 18:37, and it says that Pilate said, therefore unto him, he's in front of Pilate, the Roman governor now, because everyone sold him out in Jerusalem, and then they made up false statements. This happens all the time in courts. And with good judges, it doesn't happen. But with unrighteous judges, like Pilate here is an unrighteous judge, he said, therefore unto them, said unto them, art thou a king? Then Emmanuel answered and said, you said I'm a king. To this end I was born. Like, he's like, for this whole reason that I'm in front of you right now is the reason I was born, Pilate. And for this cause I came into the world. So he's saying, I came into the world just to do this. And he said to bear witness to the truth. Is that, that's the reason he showed up. So that he could tell everybody, these people were wicked. They're not going to lead you to heaven. You might as well leave, and, bear witness to it. Everyone that is of the truth hears his voice. So that's what he's saying. It's like, everyone that knows the truth and really knows God is hanging out with Emmanuel. And everybody that acts like they know God, and they're like, oh, you know, we have Moses. And that's what Emmanuel said. Don't think because you have Moses or you're from Abraham, well, because you do have Moses and the law, like, you know what you're doing. But don't think just because you come from Abraham's seed, I can't find somebody better, even if I have to go out to the Gentiles to do it. And that's what he did tell him. He said, go out. After he died, he said, go out into all parts of the world and convert them, because these people aren't listening. So we'll find better people out throughout the whole world than sitting in Jerusalem trying to deal with these people. Because, like, you remember he said when he was here, don't go to the Gentiles, only go to the lost sheep of Israel, because he was trying to create something inside Israel. All right, let's get to this last little bit here. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've come to not to destroy, but to fulfill. And that was the whole point. Emmanuel was the sign that God promised to Agag that would be shown to show that he was with his people. The sign was that a virgin would have a son and name him Emmanuel. So when that happened, that was a sign to everybody in Israel that God was for them. And then who could be against you? Well, the leaders were against you, because now they didn't want Emmanuel to rule over them. So they're like, well, if we gotta kill him to keep all these guys in their subjection to us, because we're the rulers and we're not gonna get overthrown, then that's what we'll do. So they did. They killed him and they remained in power, and they're probably still in power in Jerusalem to this very day. And that's the thing, too. Like, the Messiah. When the Messiah arrives, they'll probably try to figure out a reason that he's not the Messiah and try to overthrow his throne, too. Because that's just what they do. That's what Emmanuel was warning everybody about. It's like, you vipers, you brood of snakes, like, you are from your father, the devil. Nothing that God has is what you want. You only want, like, man-made power. You only want glory for yourself. You don't want to provide for these people. You don't want to take care of my sheep. You just want the glory of being the shepherd. But when the wolves come, you're gonna run away and you're going to not take care of my sheep. And that's why he gave to Peter, he said, feed my sheep. Just feed them. You know, like, let them figure it out, but feed them, Peter. And so the Catholics, I mean, for the most part, have always made sure that everybody was provided for and all the people were fed. So that's one thing you can thank them for. So the point is, everyone throughout the world needs to come to the realization that the God of Israel is the truth. Emmanuel came to testify to the God of Israel and the Torah law that Moses gave. The people, the leaders, were not doing the Mosaic law. They were already under a Roman governorship. So they're like, you know what? We're not going to do the Mosaic law. We're going to kill you, and we're going to let the Romans rule us. They're going to feed us. They're going to treat us nice, and we're happy with that. And Emmanuel's like, well, I guess that's the reason I came into the world, was to spread this message and hope people get it. So now, hopefully that you get it, that Emmanuel was the truth written about in Isaiah 7:14, and he'll be back. Like, he ascended to heaven, or nobody's ever found his body, let's just say that. Just like Moses. Nobody's ever found Moses' body. You know? So, the point is that everything will be okay. But, just believe in Emmanuel, because he came just to tell you to turn back to Moses. Follow the God of Israel, and everything would be good. And not to get led astray by your leaders, leading you off cliffs, like lemmings. Like, obviously, they still are a part of, otherwise you wouldn't have a democracy anymore, right? Right. Shalom. Have a good day. This is the Lion of Judah Synagogue.